Ran and I are old friends, and I say that in the youngest possible way. I'm not going to use that mic. I'm going to walk around if you guys are okay with that. How's everyone doing? Is this too loud?
No.
Okay. All right. This is a picture of me in the most self-indulgent first slide ever. I don't know why I still use it, but I do. As Rayanne said, I'm the head of marketing for Allegis Global Solutions. We're an RPO and MSP provider for employers all over the world. And I also lead our employer branding strategy, both internally and externally, doing that sort of consulting work for our customers. So, and I started with them as an employer brand leader. This feels a little hot. It's a little echoey here. Okay. I started with them as an employer brand leader for a big tech firm called CA Technologies, which was a legacy software company with mainframe type products trying to become more of a cloud organization that had rebranded several times. CA Technologies doesn't stand for California Technologies. It actually stands for Computer Associates from years back, from the 90s, when I actually used to do recruiting for them as a third-party staffing agent. Anyway, they need a little bit of a facelift. Allegis came to me and said, hey, we found you on page one of Google for the words employer brand strategy Dallas. And I said, of course you did. That's by design. And I'm going to show you all a little bit about how to do that today if you're interested in that sort of very low-tech approach to organic SEO. Sound like fun? All right, I'm going to show you some other things too. A lot of it is low tech because I think that high tech is overrated. We talk a lot about gizmos and gadgets, and that's one of my favorite things, but I feel like high touch is still better than high tech, if that makes sense, in our profession. I'm going to show you one of the coolest techs that I've seen recently. This is great. Your badge? Okay. What happens if your badge flips over at most conferences? No one can see your name, but here? Oh, it's on both sides. Brilliant tech right there. That is good stuff. All right, I've got enough water to float a ship because my eyes are still a little red from being out with a bunch of you last night, so. Let's just pretend that didn't happen. Okay, so are any of you fans of HR open source, HROS, yeah? Okay, if you don't know it, you can go to hros.co and learn best practices from recruiting leaders and HR leaders and employer brand leaders from big companies and small companies all over the world. And we just volunteer case studies to hros.co so that the rest of us can just have a channel like a library that we can go look at for how did somebody do that. So they recently did a recruitment survey, and you can find it at hrs.co. And if you're going to tweet about that right now, I'm at fishdogs on Twitter, and you can tag at Lars, who helped to start hrs.co, and hashtag hros and hashtag ebrandcon. I'm just telling you what to write right now as we. All right, so one of the things that they asked is, should company culture be owned / measured by HR? All right, so I'm going to ask this question real quick. How many people in this room are in HR? Okay, so almost everybody feels like they identify with that. How many in this room are technically in marketing? Okay, so it's about two-thirds, one-third, or three-quarters, right? That's about what this survey says, basically. If you've ever been a consultant to a large organization trying to do employer brand work, anyone in the room ever try to do that? A few of you? Okay. You find that sometimes when the organization doesn't already have that set up in their organization, it's owned by marketing most of the time. When they set it up properly, then it's owned by HR or talent acquisition. So Another question they asked, should recruiting be a part of HR, and should employer branding be a part of recruiting? Okay, and the answers universally to both those questions are yes. But is talent acquisition separating from HR a little bit these days, do we feel? A little bit? Does HR, so we're all sort of kind of part of HR, but do we feel like we're HR people? Not really, right? We don't. Because HR, we feel, I think, a lot of us feel, is largely ineffective. I'm a recovering talent acquisition leader. Okay? I've been in an HR organization, and I can tell you that the rest of that organization doesn't know anything about what recruiting does most of the time. They make some of the rules, and they set up some of the playing field, but employer branding is absolutely a part of recruiting, right? It has to be. Okay. So another question they asked is about market trends having the biggest impact on work from an HR perspective, and one of the anomalies is the automation of jobs. So one of the things that got the biggest reaction from people is AI going to start changing the way certain jobs are done? And I'm going to say that it already is, right? We already have chatbots answering questions on career sites and things like that. And I'm going to share some data about how that's working and how candidates feel about it in a little while. And you're going to find some of this a little eye-opening. Some of it is kind of a no-brainer. And then views on emerging trends. So data and analytics is the most topical and important thing to most recruiters and most HR leaders, to thinking that this is what's going to change the game in the future. And the lowest thing in people's visual imagery in their brain is something called blockchain. So let me ask this. Is anyone here currently heavily involved in anything that involves blockchain? Raise one hand. One hand. Okay. Can you tell us about it? Just slightly.
Sure.
A little bit. I too am on the board of a blockchain company. And guess what? I still don't know how they're going to make any money. All right, so here's the deal. Blockchain is basically the ability to convert transactions from here to here for cryptocurrency currently, basically, without a bank in the middle. Okay? So that speeds up time, it lowers fees, it does a few things, and it keeps it from having a centralized place where hackers could get at it, because it's spread out across servers all over the world. So that's basically it. That's as simple as I can get. But I'm telling you right now that blockchain is going to be a big part of our life very soon for a few reasons. Has anyone heard the evil term GDPR? I'm just saying. If that data could be already verified somewhere without the need to re-verify it over and over and over again, and ask people if they're cool with it being re-verified because they're the ones that verified it in the first place, that data might actually be very compliant. That's the way we're moving. That's going to happen. So just understand that right now, blockchain exists because of cryptocurrency, which is another thing that we all scratch our heads about, even though we're investing in it a little bit. All right. So I'm going to skip this slide because we've just discussed it. These are my kids. These are my actual kids. How many people in this room have never been to an employer branding strategies conference before? How many people in this room have never even been to a social recruiting strategies conference? So you haven't seen my kids before, in other words. I've been doing this conference since the very beginning. So the EBSC, I was one of the first speakers there, and Social Recruiting Strategies Conference, same thing. I have, on occasion, done three sessions in a row at these events when people don't show up to speak. So not only am I a committed contributor, but But I always use this photo of my children in every session. So some people got 3 sessions in a row with pictures of my kids at this conference before. So the reason they're here is for a very tangible thing. We're all concerned about our data privacy, right? That GDPR thing. And so we're sort of getting to be a little concerned about sharing things publicly online, right? We now, in certain countries, are going to have the ability to say, forget my data forever and make sure that I know what you have had and get rid of it, okay? But we're probably not going to do that so much here in the US for a while, especially on places like Facebook, which more and more people are kind of not using as much. Does everyone feel that way? Yeah, absolutely, right? WhatsApp, yeah, better. Marco Polo, any Marco Polo fans? That's so great. Get on that. But the thing is, we still need to be sharing things about ourselves in order to build the proper kind of employer brand. So that quote that Rayanne found about me, I wrote an article for Universum in 2009. This is 2 years after I started doing employer branding strategy for companies. Okay, so this thing that we all feel is very new, it's really not a new thing, it's just, it's coming to fruition. So let's just say that. But I've always said that the employer brand should really be the employee brand, if that makes sense, okay? So the employee brand is not just employees saying good things about the company on a regular basis, because that doesn't make them unique, right? They have to be able to say things about themselves on a regular basis and be attached to the company by way of their profile information and things like that. So they are our public speakers, okay? But they have to be unique. So I recommend that everyone, and I say this to organizations large and small, everyone in your organization should feel comfortable sharing like 3 different things about themselves online on a regular basis. We all should. So, who's got 3 things that they feel comfortable about that they could tell me right now? Okay, that's sort of 2 personal things and 1 professional thing.
It's very personal to have
them. Intel for 16 years, okay. And Intel based in California?
Intel based in Portland.
In Portland, okay, all right.
And Arizona.
And Arizona, all right. Anywhere else? So that's a 3rd personal thing. Okay, anyway, so everyone didn't hear that, but she's got 3 kids, 4 kids, all in college. How? Oh my gosh. Okay, so I advocate that you be able to talk about 3 things in your life on a regular basis, because if you only ever share professional stuff, people don't get to know you. Does that make sense? Okay, they might get to know your opinions a little bit about professional stuff, but that doesn't really help them get to know you. So if I walk up to you in a party and say, hey, I'm Craig Fisher, I'm the head of marketing for a company called Allegis, see you later, and everyone else comes to meet you, and one of me walks up and says, hey, I'm Craig, I just flew here from Dallas, I've got 3 kids who are waiting for me to get home, so I'm gonna get drunk here a couple nights and then go back home to them. We live by the lake outside of Dallas, and we are on a boat most of the time, so find me online. I'm at FishDogs on Instagram and Twitter and places like that, and let's hang out. And by the way, I'm the head of marketing at a company called Allegis, and I walk away, okay? Which me are you going to remember better? Yeah? Yes, lake, kids, get drunk a couple nights. But the whole point is, if we encourage all of our employees to talk better about themselves and have 3 things that they could feel safe about sharing on a regular basis, and use a ratio that is appropriate to building thought leadership in their network when they share things. By the way, I use a 5-to-1 give to ask ratio, okay? What's that mean, a give to ask ratio? If all you ever do is talk about your company, that's all asks. Look at my company, read our white paper, check out our blog post, look at our, you know, CEO on the cover of Forbes, whatever. That's all asks, but if you give more often, hey, here's a picture of me and my coworkers doing some community service, That's a give. Here's a picture of me and my kids. That's a give. Here's a funny meme about work. Give. Here's an interesting article on Inc. magazine that's not about me or my organization, but it will help you do your job better. Those are all gives. Five gives to everyone ask. Oh, and by the way, we're hiring. There's your ask. Can you refer someone? If you give all those times before you do that ask, your network is way more likely to respond because you've built trust. And if we encourage that to all of our employees when we're trying to do employee advocacy and things like that that help build our employer brand, if we encourage them to have their own voice rather than just feed them company stuff, they're more likely to want to do it because there's a what's in it for me for them, because we're going to help them build thought leadership and trust in their own networks. So we give them things that aren't just about the company, and we encourage them to share things personally about themselves. Now, the little point about numbers 1, 2, and 3 sons here is that I've never actually shared their names online, ever. They've only ever been known as numbers 1, 2, and 3 sons. So I can do this with a little sense of security that the stalkers that I'm stalking, who are stalking me back, can know me without actually having to know everything about me, if that makes sense. And even on my LinkedIn profile, right in the middle of my summary, you'll see, first and foremost, I'm the father of 3 amazing boys, and you can usually find us on Grapevine Lake outside of Dallas, Texas. That means people get that handshake and that here's who I am before they even have to decide if they like me or want to call me back. Right? Okay. Ah, what's everybody think about this? Scary? Are we all going to die? Do we know why this is happening? Okay, so Recruit is the holding company that owns Indeed and has agreed to purchase Glassdoor. So that's happening. Why is it happening? Because Google for Jobs aggregates and scrapes every job board but Indeed. That's why. That's it. So now Indeed gets organic search back at some point, although they say that's not the point. That's the point. So that's going to happen. Everybody okay with that? They're going to kind of corner the market on reviews for employers, right? Anybody else doing that well at all? Anybody have a glass door problem for your organization? Yeah. Is that going to get easier or harder because of this merger? Prices are going to go up for a while. They are. It'll come back down eventually. There's a lot of consolidation going on in the job board market right now, a lot of buyouts, a lot of change. That's good for us, believe me. Overall, that's good for us. Job boards are making a comeback. The Upworks and Fivers of the world are sort of changing the game a little bit by creating a new market for task specialists. Yeah? That's even a percentage of our population in the workforce now is amazing. And guess what kind of percentage it is? That's like 23% of the way we're getting work done right now. That doesn't seem possible, but it's true. Okay, here's a little old tech for you. You're gonna like this. So, Indeed had to buy Glassdoor to get their Google rankings back. So if you search for something like lead mobile developer jobs in Cary, North Carolina, what you're going to get first is Google for Jobs results, right? No matter what. Now, if you use the word jobs, which most job seekers do when they're searching for jobs, because otherwise they just get resumes back, right? So you have to include the word jobs. By the way, the number one search term used in searching for jobs is the word jobs. The number one search term most of us don't have on our own LinkedIn profiles is the word jobs. You want to rank high for jobs? Write in your headline on your LinkedIn profile, currently hiring for lead mobile developer jobs in Cary, North Carolina, or wherever. Make sense? And you'll rank. If you actually search for things like LinkedIn Training Dallas on your Chrome browser, you'll find my LinkedIn profile is on page one. If you search for Employer Branding Strategy Dallas, Texas, you'll find my LinkedIn profile. That's organic SEO. I usually show a slide for that, but I've got a different slide today. If you look at the right half of this slide, the fourth listing down is an Eventbrite event that I created for a job description for one of our customers, MetLife. Okay? I didn't do anything else. I took the job description and I made an event out of it on Eventbrite. And it shows up on page one of Google for that job search. That was free, it cost me nothing. I put interview times as tickets. So people could sign up for interviews just by purchasing a free ticket for no money on Eventbrite, and that crap shows up on page one of Google. Do we really need to pay for job boards? Yes, we do, we all do. We all pay lots of money. We do. Okay, so if we're gonna talk about technology, we need to talk about design thinking a little bit. Is everybody into design thinking these days? Do we even know what that means? Are we talking about it at all? Design thinking workshops help employees understand a process better, okay? And we've created some really interesting design thinking sort of visualizations for our customers. And one of these is sort of the candidate journey. And so where in the journey are they happiest and saddest? Well, it turns out that they're happiest when they're getting their interview scheduled, for the most part, okay? And that piece can be easily automated by AI. Is anyone doing automated interview scheduling already? Yeah? Some? A few? It makes your life easier, I'll tell you that much. Does anyone hate it when someone says, here's a link to find time on my calendar to schedule a meeting with me? I hate it, so I don't do it. But it drives me nuts, and I almost refuse to do it when someone else asks me to do that. So if you're one of those people, Maren Hogan, who says, find some time on my calendar here, I'm not doing that. It's just not gonna happen. All right, is that rude? Do I care? Okay. So the best AI technology that already exists that actually learns is Facebook. Everybody agree with that? You know how closely you can target a Facebook ad these days, right? If you wanted to find a lead mobile developer in Cary, North Carolina, that works near a specific company, you can do that, right? By where they check in, the other companies they like, the places they like to eat, all this stuff. You can find that person, that exact person, and send an ad directly to them, literally directly to them. Now, don't make it age-specific, because you'll get in big trouble for that. Everybody know about that rule? Okay, we're not doing that anymore. But Facebook knows everything about us. Why? Because when we all signed up a long time ago, when we thought Facebook was cool, we told Facebook everything about us. What bands do you like? What songs from those bands do you like? What movies are your favorite? What are your favorite TV shows? Who are all your friends? What's your actual birth date? What's your phone number? What's your other phone number? What are all your email addresses? Where exactly do you live? What places do you like to go to? Facebook knows everything about us, more even than Google. Right? It's true. You're all going, wait, what? What did I just do? It's true. And so that's why Facebook ads are so very effective, and that's why it's the best AI technology going, because Facebook keeps learning. And do we all actually believe that AI really learns? Skeptics, I see you. All right, we'll see about that. Hiring Solved, everyone know Hiring Solved? Yeah? Hiring Solved is the creator of Prophet. Did we all used to use Prophet all the time on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter and other places? Still works on every place but LinkedIn, by the way. And it might be coming back to LinkedIn because LinkedIn lost a big lawsuit saying that they can't do that, like exclude things. But there is a big website that I can tell you about afterwards that will show you, it's actually just an extension for Chrome, that will show you all the things that are blocked by LinkedIn right now that you shouldn't be using technically, And LinkedIn will put you in jail for it if they catch you too many times doing it. Just FYI. But Profit, in the meantime, had built this massive database of data about people because we all used it to try to find everyone's email addresses. And Profit's owned by Hiring Solve, so now Hiring Solve has all this amazing data. And they also have recently created a tool called Ray. Ray is a learning bot that you can talk to, okay, it's voice-enabled if you want, and will tell you the answer to how many Java developers are in Dallas, Texas. Or find me the top 3 Java developers in Dallas, Texas. Okay, and you can get as specific as you want. So Ray was put in a competition with the SourceCon Grandmaster. The SourceCon Grandmaster figured out the challenge, which is find me the top 3 people in this database for this specific job. SourceCon Grandmaster did it right and in the right order, but it took him 24 hours. Ray did it in 3 minutes. Not in the right order, but still the top 3 in that database in 3 minutes. Does this mean that sourcing is going away? No. This just means that sourcers have a new great tool. Okay? Remember when the mobile phone came along? Some of you aren't old enough to remember when the mobile phone came along. But those of us who are thought at that time, wait, you mean I can call people when I'm not at the desk? Yeah, absolutely. You remember when the internet came along? Okay, I remember that too. We were using fax machines and lists at the time for job. I put ads in newspapers. What kind of crazy nonsense is that? We spent a big portion of our week putting ads in newspapers. Anyway, this is just another tool. No one's jobs are going away because of automation. Not even close. Okay. Avrio? Has anyone seen this one? This is a pretty good tool. This tool will have a conversation with a candidate and then with an applicant and then stack rank the applicants for you who have applied and had conversations and send you the results. Pretty great. Ideal will do the same type of thing, but it will just measure everyone in a database versus a job description without bias and give you the results and stack rank them. So we had a scenario recently where a retail company came to us and said, we need to hire 12,000 people in 3 months. So how many applicants does it take to have 12,000 people? Any of you recruiters in the room? I mean, multiple of 4 at least, right? So how many resumes does that mean we have to go through? Is it possible? How many people would you have to do that? A couple hundred people you'd have in order to do that, dedicated to that one job. Not tenable. Can't do it. Could, but really expensive. But you have one piece of software that can do that for you, and all of a sudden, boom, here's your top 10 candidates every day. Without bias. Does it work? I've tested it. Kind of works. Without bias, we say. All right. Olivia? Who's in the house from Olivia? Paradox AI? There you are. Uh-huh. We've implemented this chatbot on our website at Allegis to talk about our tech stack, how we're approaching technology. It's pretty cool. The answers that Olivia gave at very early on were very basic because it hadn't learned anything. And as people ask questions, and we help answer questions, Olivia gets smarter. So we've also implemented this at a big tech company called DXC Technology on their career site. And you can ask it things like, tell me about your culture, right? Tell me about your benefits, things like that. And early on, by the way, if you want to see this in action right now, you can go to jobs.dxc.technology. Early on, the questions and answers were pretty basic, right? The sophistication of the people asking the questions was low because it was mostly me and the people I work with and the people at DXC Technology just testing the bot. But we'd ask things like, and even job candidates would ask things like, hi, how are you? Are you a real person? Things like that. But oddly enough, people said thank you a lot to a chat bot. Okay, still do. But as we went on, the answers got more sophisticated. One of the things, though, that people asked all the time, and you see that big dark red circle there? Can I speak to a recruiter? Okay. That means someone on the line is really interested in talking to someone. So we had to input a methodology for that. So where's the button to click to speak to a recruiter right now? Okay. So remember what I said about high touch is still more important than high tech? But this saves a lot of steps, okay, for the recruiters. So the people that actually want to talk to a recruiter and aren't just sniffing around, a recruiter doesn't have to field all those. Technology can do it. In the U.S., the top 10 topics are about jobs, locations, job search, working remotely. Recruiter contact is still one of the top. What's the application process? Where's the company located? Can we check on my status in the process? That's pretty awesome, right? I mean, is the number one thing in a job application candidate experience communication? It's the number one thing. Tell us about your company benefits and your company culture. These are the top things that are asked and answered by a bot that is strikingly human when you talk to her. Olivia, by the way, is a real person. She's the wife of the CEO of Paradox AI, Aaron Matos. So she's a real gal. Nice lady, too. And we've now spread this out all over the world and are having conversations in multiple languages, which is pretty cool. Olivia can also take care of things like referrals. All right, so if you text Olivia, I want to refer my friend, Olivia will write back, okay, what's their name and contact information? I'll initiate the process. And you give them their information. And Olivia reaches out to your friend and says, hey, your buddy that works here referred you to a job. Would you like to start the application process? And walks them through it. What kind of game-changing step saver is that? That's pretty awesome. And it works. And that's the real thing. It works. So I actually surveyed job candidates last year about how they feel about interacting with chatbots in the process of applying for a job. And overwhelmingly, they said, yeah, I'm good with that, pretty good. Some things more than others, but a good 20%-ish in every category said, yeah, I'm still kind of fuzzy on that, not great, which means that we still have to be human, right? We still have to connect with people in order for our employer brand to be accepted by the majority of people. And so, oh, that's a cheesy slide. You see that thumbs up? Here, let's do it again. This is really, look at that. Oh, yeah. Mm. We still have to be human, which means we still have to have our people in our organization have conversations with the outside world on a regular basis so that the outside world can get to know us better. How many kids do I have? What are their names? What's my title? Who cares? Right? That's the thing. All right, so you want to know your targets very well, okay? An empathy map is a design thinking exercise that you can do with your team to understand who your targets are, okay? Who are your applicants? Who's your purple squirrel unicorn? Is it, so for CA Technologies, our purple squirrel unicorn was a 27-year-old Latina STEM grad from Stanford, okay? Tricky. But if you understand who they are, what they see when they go through their day, what they think, how they talk to their friends, what's important to them, then you can address how you answer some of their needs with the content that you put out in the world. Does that make sense? If you put out ads that say, you can work from home a lot, you have a flexible schedule, you have these things that address some of their needs. Is family important? Do they coach soccer? Right? Are they into working out? I mean, whatever you decide that person is, then you can answer, right, with an empathy map. I got to be part of a design thinking workshop with IBM a couple of years back as one of their HR futurists. And this is really an old technique that we use in marketing, but it really applies to recruiting and to employer brand. But you can do the same thing for your chatbot. So Olivia could be fairly generic across every different platform that it's on in different companies, or you could design think how Olivia should talk to people based on who is your purple squirrel unicorn, right? Who are your job candidates? Are they mostly tech people? Are they mostly salespeople? Could you change the conversation for each type of person by asking the simple question, what kind of job are you interested in? You absolutely can. And so do that design thinking workshop, empathy map, for your technology as well. Okay, that's all the slides. If anyone has any questions, we can talk about that right now. I'm gonna drink some water. The fact that it's statistically there, period, is surprising to me. I didn't actually expect people to be asking a chatbot about their status in the process. And that they actually are, I thought was impressive. So, yes and no. I mean, it's surprising to me, but I didn't actually believe that that was going to be one of the questions, and it is. We didn't ask that, and I'll tell you that we didn't ask that on purpose. We didn't record sort of who they are data. We just asked everyone that had applied to a job at our company. And so we could say that there are some statistical anomalies in the generations that apply to our company, but really that's going to be the same type of generational statistics that apply to most companies. And so we didn't think that was statistically necessary, if that makes sense. So our question was there generational differences in who was cooler with interacting with AI tech? And it's very possible that that 20% that's not are all older, but I don't think that's the case. So have you ever been on hold with your cable company? Would you rather get on your phone and talk to a chatbot and get things moving? Yeah, everybody would. So we're all in the middle of this, right? Have we all got our privacy statements and cookies up to date? Oh my gosh. So either you decide not to collect the information and store it, period, or you have to put a statement in the bot, the technology that says, if you want to share this with us, please accept this button right here, and then you move on. And Olivia's got that covered. So currently on DXC's site, we're not asking those questions anymore. It used to be immediately, what's your name and email address so we can get back in touch with you. We're not doing that now. We're skirting around it, but we will again. And it is a great lead generation tool, by the way. You'll all get these slides. And so all those categories of things that people are asking are literally the pain points that job candidates go through in the process. And that visualization that I did of a candidate journey, you'll find that that's the same. It's pretty fantastic. I mean, the chatbot is teaching us all kinds of stuff. Thank you, Olivia. Yeah, it's cool. Anybody else? Okay, we're done. I thank you very much. You've been great.